Let's turn in God's Word together to Genesis 47. Genesis 47, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 31. Genesis 47, and beginning in verse 1, these are God's holy, infallible words. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." They said moreover unto Pharaoh, "For to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen." And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell, and if thou knowest any men of activity among them, and make them rulers over my cattle." And Joseph brought in Jacob his father, and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, "How old art thou?" And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers and the days of their pilgrimage." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt and the best of the land in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence, for the money faileth?" And Joseph said, "Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail." And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for the flocks, and for the cattle of the herds, and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year, and said unto him, "We will not hide it from my lord, how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed, that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate." And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their lands. And Joseph said unto the people, "Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, he is seed for you. Here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for food for your little ones. And they said, Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die, and he called his son Joseph, and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me. And he sware unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Those are God's words. The chapter begins with Joseph presenting his brothers and his father to Pharaoh. And enter verse 12. We see that they're settled in the land of Goshen, which is the best of the land of Egypt. And notice that God's people get the best of the land. God's grace shown to them in that. You skip down to the end, verse 27, to the end of the chapter. We see Israel being fruitful. They're multiplying in the land. They're being blessed. They're growing, even in the midst of famine. Jacob living to a good old age, living in Egypt for 17 years. And getting Joseph to covenant with him, to bury him in the land of Canaan when he died. And that hope that Jacob had in the resurrection, as well as that promised land, which is foreshadowing that heavenly country that we today look forward to as well. And then the middle of the chapter, verses 13 through 26, we see Joseph does not join his family. He remains in service to Pharaoh, keeping his duty while his family continues in the land, in Goshen. Showing that there's a distinction, a necessary division here between God's people and the Egyptians. That over here, of all of Egypt, there is the Egyptians, but here in the land of Goshen are God's people. And that comes by God's grace as well. And so, though they were in Egypt, they were not assimilating into their culture. They were not assimilating into the world's culture. Though they were amongst them. In this part, though, of the scripture, we might ask, what is the purpose of what Joseph is doing here, still remaining as Pharaoh's right-hand man, still doing Pharaoh's business, buying up all this land to feed the people during the famine? The Lord, beloved, is using Joseph to fulfill his promises. Genesis 15, even though Joseph didn't know this, perhaps. Genesis 15, it says, Then the Lord said to Abram, Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years, but I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. And here we see Pharaoh buying up all the land. And he's going to grow in power. And we see that when we get to Exodus, he has great power and great money, great everything. And that is exactly in line with what the Lord promised to Abraham, that they would serve him. They would be servants there. And further, beloved, here is the provision provided to the people of God. Joseph being a servant to Pharaoh, providing for the people, providing for God's people in the land of Goshen there, so that the seed of the woman continues on in the midst even of famine. Famine cannot hold Christ from being born or hold him back or keep him from being born. Through these means, he was born. That he would live a perfect life for his people in righteousness, that he would die on the cross for our sins, that he'd rise from the dead, that now ascended unto glory. He's sitting as our mediatorial king on the throne gloriously. That's what's happening in this chapter. Even though it kind of seems just like here's God's people over here and they're being fed and there's some land being sold by the Egyptians to Pharaoh. That's what's happening. It's all about Christ and the fulfillment of the Lord's promises to his people. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful that we don't have just one part of it. We have all of it that you have revealed to us, your people here on earth. Father, we grieve over the fact that your word is so prevalent and yet people hate it. Even in the church, Christians, ourselves, the word of the very living and true God, the creator and sustainer of all things, the God of providence and eternity, and we don't take up your word, we don't meditate and dwell upon your word, and in that way we act like the world. We act like the Bible is just another book to read from a bookstore. So, Father, forgive us of this great sin of not loving and cherishing in all of our heart your word, the living word. All other words in the world are dead. This is the living word. Father, help us to love your word. Help us to speak your word. Live it out. Believe everything we read and hear from it. We ask that you would cause us to remember your promises so that when we see them fulfilled, not only fulfilled in reading of Scripture, but fulfilled in our lives and our experiences, that we would give all praise and glory to your name, the God who is all faithful. Father, we give you praise for your Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful that He is that seed of the woman who crushed the seed of the serpent's head there at the cross and from rising up from the dead to secure our justification, our right standing before you. Father, thankful for the gift of faith that you worked faith in us as an instrument on the justification. We're thankful that, as we heard in Sabbath school, the ground of that justification is not in what we do, it's not in our faith, but it's in what Christ has done there at the cross. And Father, we give you praise for him. Thankful for the gospel. And Father, we pray that you would make that great imprint into our hearts and our lives of the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. That we would not be ashamed of the gospel, but with boldness proclaim it unto all that we come in contact with for your glory and for the spread and advance of your kingdom. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that all these things would be added unto us, that we would not fear famine, that we would not fear illnesses or anything, but all these things be added unto you, all those concerns we have in daily life that we worry about or anxious about, while we hand them over to you, and we know that you will take care of us and help us and meet every need that we have. Because you're the God who's promised to do so. And you are the God who will uphold us in our hearts. You hold us in your hands. You guard us. You put a hedge around us to protect us. You are our fortress and shield. And so we rely and depend upon you completely. Father, we ask that you would be with this congregation. You would help us to love you. That you would give us unity in the truth, and therefore unity amongst ourselves and our fellowship. That you would cast all divisions out and any who would make divisions. We pray that as Satan comes and attempts to create divisions amongst us in our families, our marriages, even this congregation, in the Church of Jesus Christ, we pray that we would see it for what it is, and we would not open our hearts to such deception and lies and division, that we would maintain the unity that there is amongst us by your grace and by your Spirit. We pray for your help, that you would give us hearts as a congregation, hearts to proclaim the truth and proclaim it with boldness for your glory. That you would grow us not only in sanctification and cleansing of our sin, putting to death the sin that remains within us, but you bring more sinners to yourself. That you would grow us to such an extent that we would be able to plant another church, and that we could see your kingdom advancing more and more throughout this nation and to all nations, as you've promised will come about. And we put our faith in you and in your promises. While we pray also for those who are not feeling well, sick, or unable to be here because they're traveling, we pray that you would be with Elijah who's not feeling well. We pray that you would also grant to the Palafox family safety in their travels and give them rejuvenation for their service to you and energy and strength. We pray also for Adasa, thankful for her surgery going well, thankful that it was successful, and that she's already back home and worshiping you with her parents, Michael and Audrey. We give you praise for upholding them all, and pray that you will bless them in their time with the saints at Shawnee. Thankful for that congregation as they've continued in prayer for her, and pray that you would bless them in seeing all the things that you've done in her life that give praise to your name. And to your name alone. Father, we pray that you will uphold Michael and Audrey, Anna, Addison, Carla, especially those who take care of the baby and help Michael and Audrey. Pray that you would strengthen them and their bodies. And I know that Carla struggled with sleep. Pray that you would help her with sleeping. Even in this service that she's undertaken. And Father, we ask that you would care for your people. And we pray that you would heal Adasa, keep healing her, and pray that now with the surgery that she would slowly or quickly, according to your will, gain a gag reflex, and perhaps in the future may even be able to eat through her mouth. And we pray that you will keep healing her body and her brain and her functions and all the things that we often take for granted that are seemingly instinctual to us or natural to us. We know not for her. Because of the fall, there's issues that we all have in our bodies at times. And her more so. And so we pray that you would heal her, heal all of us. And as we look forward to that day when we will have new glorified bodies with no pain or tears and no struggle, no cancer, nothing to ail us, but only perfection and holiness with your Son forever. Give us hope in that time, and even as we search for that heavenly country, that promised land, when we will be home with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the great General Assembly, the myriads of angels, the saints who've been made perfect, and we could go on with all the those who will be present. That's where we long to be. And so as we long to be there, we pray with Paul, help us to know in our hearts, for to live is Christ and to die is gain. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.